This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Robin. And robins are the talk this morning, aren't they, with all this rain? Just jumping around in those gardens, aren't they, Charlie?
Oh, they're just finding it pretty easy to find worms these last few days. And they're getting fatter right before my very eyes. And stupider, sorry to say that, but it's not stupid. It's really normal behavior. A lot of birds, male birds, are wanting to show off their colors and their beautiful voices. And they're pretty competitive when it comes to other boy robins or other boy birds. So I have virtually every window in my house with a male robin challenging itself in the window and fluttering up and down the window and beating its little wings and its little beak against the window because it doesn't recognize that it's challenging itself.
Right. Well, it's genetic. We all do those things. Charlie, all
I was going to say, kind of typical male behavior, right? Like not too bright.
No, not at all. But you've had a good week and you're loving all this rain, right? All this rain
loving
is so important, right?
Never, ever, ever complain about the rain. That's my mantra.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the numbers quickly? I have a few announcements because we are into all those spring events.
Yep, I would love to do that. Numbers to call. If you live in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Or if you live anywhere in the province of Ontario outside Toronto, this is a toll-free number for you to use. 1-866-740-4740. And please do let Ashy know if you are a first-time caller, and I will give you your garden wings, and we want you to call often. Please call early. Please call early. Please call early. And one question per call, please. There you go. All over to you there, Charlie.
Thank you. Yeah, so we've got a few things to talk about, obviously, because of events. Tomorrow at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, the Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society is meeting at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. Matt Matty will be sharing challenging convention. Does that make sense? Anyway, there's a plant sale for members. It all sounds pretty cool. April 16th, the Toronto Cactus and Succulent Club is meeting at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. That's at 7:30 p.m. So lots going on with some of the specialty clubs. And I want to tell everybody about an event I'm participating in. It's on Thursday, April 25th at the Angus Glen Golf Club. The tickets are $100. It is a fundraiser for Union Villa, which is a long-term care facility in Unionville. So the idea is they want to increase their sensory gardens and their resident courtyard gardens for, obviously, the residents because of the whole, you know, the therapeutic aspects of gardens. Kate Seaver of Kate's Garden is the MC, and I am the guest speaker at this event. So it's at 10 a.m., starting at 10, goes on till mid-afternoon. For more information, there's a phone number here. Phone number 905-477-2822. Or, like I say, it's called Garden by the Greens. So you could always just Google Garden by the Greens and get all the information you need. But that's Thursday, April 25th. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Fabulous. Okay. We are going to take our first break. Do give us a call. Again, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin. And Charlie, we can go right to our first caller. Yeah, we have got Marlene on the line, and she is calling from Hillsburg. Welcome to The Garden Show, Marlene.
Good morning, kids. How are you doing?
Great.
I'm good. I'm feeling like a whole lot younger all of a sudden. Thanks for that.
Well, that's good. I bought the cutest little plant at Christmas time. It was called a frosted fern, I think, a little 4-H pot. And I want to know what to do with it. Like, after the little white flowers die, then it just looks like a tumbleweed, kind of. How do you keep it alive?
All right, so that is not a hardy plant. That is treated, it's a tropical, so that is treated as a houseplant. So it's bright indirect light. You know, it's the golden color. It's a very pretty, actually, fern. So it's bright indirect light, so, you know, not a dark corner and not right in a southern window. Watering, I would put it on a pebble tray, or through the winter I would have, you know, do what you can to increase the humidity. The old pebble tray is just like a cookie sheet with gravel, and then the pot sits on top of the gravel, and you keep water around the gravel 24/7 just to help with humidity, and watering as necessary, and enjoy it. Sometimes they aren't long-lived plants. They can be a little bit challenging. They come right out of Florida into our world in December, and they can be a little bit in shock when they get here.
Yeah, so those little white, they're flowers on top. Are they the little blooms?
Actually, you know what? I don't think they are. I think I'm just double checking here what they are. It's called frosty fern. That much I remember. Okay. And let's see. Frosty fern. They shouldn't be flowers. Those are white tips on the leaves. Yeah. Oh, but do they end up, like, they're little fluffy things, right?
Yeah.
All right, so quickly on the web here, did you know that frosty fern is considered an invasive species in New Zealand?
Really?
Yeah, so it's not a fern, of course. It's a form of moss. Yeah, and mosses do get flowers. So main thing is, if it's all brown, if those little white tips have all turned crispy, I'd give it a shearing, you know, shear the whole plant, just the outside edges of it with like a little haircut. Okay. And that should promote new growth as well.
Okay. Other than that, it's going to go in the burn barrel, I think.
Or the composter, as long as you don't live in New Zealand.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Marley. Great. Let's go to our next caller. We have Hazel on the line. Hazel's calling from Wasaga Beach. And Hazel is a first-time caller. Welcome to The Garden Show, Hazel.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. I am going to give you your garden wings. There you are.
Oh, welcome. Thank you. I'm all welcome. Set to go. I have a bloomerang lilac. And I don't have any luck with it blooming the second time around. I just wondered if you've got any pointers there for that.
So is it planted in a sunny location?
Yes, it is.
6 hours or more sun. Okay. Yes. And do you prune it at all?
I have. When the dead flowers have died, I've gone around meticulously and trimmed everything off it. And I don't know if I'm trimming off the new growth, but just wondered what the problem is.
So what I find, so what's cool about bloomerang lilac, for people that are listening and don't know this shrub, of course it is a lilac and it gives us beautiful fragrant flowers, but what makes it so cool is that it is ever blooming. So after that first typical May or June flush of flowers, this lilac will continue to bloom right up until Christmas, really, just based on the weather. So what I do, if I sort of take the time to do it, is once that first flush of flowers is finished, they will turn crispy. So you'll see that little brown crispiness. If you want to prune, you don't actually have to, but if you want to, you will go in there and just take off those tips, because from where those first flowers are removed, right below there, four more flowers will form.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
Am I able to just leave the crispy part there and just not bother doing that?
I would. I'd put my gloves on and give the plant a little bit of hair, like a what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of fondle it with your hands. You know what I mean? Like just have those crispy things will kind of break off if you just kind of fondle the plant a bit.
Uh-huh.
Pruning it is a bit challenging just because of, like I say, you will end up removing the next set of blooms. The plant gets big though. So if you don't have room for it to reach its full 4 feet wide and 6 feet tall, then at some point you're going to have to do some pruning and that will sacrifice some flowers. But you'll have to do that if you want to keep it a smaller size than it wants to be naturally.
Okay, that sounds great. I'm going to try just doing that and instead of trying to trim off those dead pieces.
Yeah, good for you for trying, though. Let us know how that works out.
Thanks so much for the call there, Hazel. Yeah, don't be a stranger. Okay, I am proud of callers this morning. We are already, we're getting those early callers. I think they got the message. And because we are still in the first half hour, it's still time to be an early caller by definition. And so I'm going to give you the number set one more time, 416-360-0740. That's the Toronto number. Or the one that Hazel would have used because she lives outside Toronto, 1-866-740-4740. Okay, we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Find the perfect gift for Mother's Day at Urban Nature Store, your ultimate wild birding and nature destination. Treat mom to the wonders of nature, from enchanting wind chimes to nature-inspired jewelry. With their expert staff ready to assist, finding the ideal gift is a breeze. Make this Mother's Day special. Shop Urban Nature Store, where nature meets nurture, because every mom deserves a gift as unique as she is. 8 locations or shop online at urbannaturestore.ca.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, storks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on this 13th of April. It is crazy how things are just tripping by, isn't it? We're almost at the middle of April already.
Already. But, you know, April showers bring May flowers. We're
absolutely
all good.
Yeah, I don't begrudge the rain at all. I think it is very, 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 very useful. And I have to say, yesterday, I drove down the street. I saw two kids walking in the rain. One was on a scooter. One had a beverage of some sort. And they looked all of about 10. And they didn't care about the rain whatsoever. They were just having a grand old time.
I remember taking my kids out, you know, puddle jumping at this time of year, dress all up in our boots and rain gear and go out and play in the ditches. I mean, it was super fun.
Good.
Yeah. And remember as well, it was a dry winter with so little snow cover across the country.
Yeah.
Any rain is a good thing. Getting that into the ground, hopefully it'll hang out long enough to keep things moist for many months.
Sweet. Okay. Let's go to our next caller. We have Diane, who's calling from Dorchester. Welcome to The Garden Show, Diane.
Good morning, and a late happy birthday. I tried to get through last week, Charlie, but I wasn't able to wish you a happy birthday, so late happy birthday.
Anyway, thank you very much.
My son relies on me sometimes because of what I listen to on your station, and he's working today, so he asked me last weekend when we had nice weather, he fertilized with weed killer, fertilizer and weed killer on his lawn. And then he was intending in 2 weeks to put down corn gluten meal, and then 2 weeks later, top dress with grass seed. And I said, hang on, I definitely am going to ask Charlie, because I don't know about the corn gluten meal going on after the fertilizer with the weed killer, but and especially you have to wait longer after corn gluten meal, don't you, before you top dress?
Okay, these are great questions. All right, so just to clarify, does your son live in Ontario or the States?
Oh, no, he lives in Dorchester, just around the corner from us. We have very sandy soil.
But I wonder what he fertilized with when you say fertilized with weed killer. Because back in the day,
he just went to Costco and he saw this and it was Scott's and it was fertilizer and it had a weed killer. And when I went over there, I wondered, what the heck is this? And I could see little brown dots of stuff on his laneway. So I don't know if that was the weed killer or the fertilizer, because our fertilizer is a different color than that when we put fertilizer on.
Right. Okay, so if he kept the bag, he can double check. But I think what he bought at Costco was weed preventer, which is not the same as weed killer. So a
weed preventer is
a herbicide, if you will, but completely registered in Ontario, completely organic. It will prevent seeds from germinating. So weed seeds like crabgrass, dandelions, chickweed, all those seeds that are outflow that are on the lawn from last fall will not germinate in the presence of a weed preventer. It is corn gluten meal. Again, if he's got the bag, he can double check. The brown, those big round granular, like big granulars, they kind of come out of the bag yellow and then they darken to a sort of a brownish color. So I'm pretty sure what he put out last week was a spring fertilizer mixed with weed preventer. Fine. Not a problem. Good idea. Timing was good. I think what he did was great. Now he can top dress. So top dressing is spreading soil. That's anywhere from a quarter to a half an inch of good quality, either topsoil, triple mix, lawn soil of any kind, all over his entire lawn, you know, half an inch, quarter of an inch, raked out nice and smooth. Just kind of, we use it to fill the holes and smooth out our lawns and help fill in some of the thin spots. He should wait 6 weeks from last weekend, so 5 weeks from now, before he puts down grass seed, because the weed preventer will also prevent his grass seed from growing, his seeds from growing. It's a seed preventer. So if he, like, I'm sure that's probably what he did. So he doesn't need to do corn gluten again until July. He can do it in July if he wants to. So for now, he's done his corn gluten, he's done his spring fertilizing. Now it's top dressing and overseeding, but giving that 6 week interval.
Okay, that's fantastic. All right. Okay. Thank you so very, very much. And I love listening to your show. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Again, great questions this morning. Well, we always have great questions, but that's a very timely question.
Well, it is. And it's so reminiscent because, you know, there he is thinking about corn gluten, but not realizing he was already putting on corn gluten. So, right. Oh, I guess the moral of that story is read your packages. Read. I always remember a very smart neighbor of mine years ago in Richmond Hill, you know, well-educated, very intelligent woman, picked up a spray bottle of something that showed a dandelion with a red stripe through it. Like this was going to kill dandelions. And she came home and she proceeded to, based on the picture, spray it on the dandelions in her lawn. Well, of course, the next day it was yellow, big yellow patches all over her lawn.
Oh no.
And I go over laughing to her house and I go, so I decided to spray a little Roundup on your lawn, did you? And she's like, I know I didn't read the package. I just saw the kills dandelions.
Right.
It was like, kills everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Read.
Okie dokie. Okay, we're going to New York State for our next caller. We have Catherine on the line. Welcome to the Garden Show, Catherine.
Morning. Thank you for the welcome.
Yeah. And how are you? What do you got for Charlie there?
Well, Charlie, I have a gardenia. It was given to me 2 years ago. He bloomed, or she bloomed twice, two, three times, and, you know, looking very healthy. Then all of a sudden, the leaves are dropping, turning and curling. I think I repotted it and I did something wrong. And so I decided I'd give it a little trim, and I got all the dead leaves off and thought I'd moisturize it, you know, keep it in high humidity, and nothing's happening, and the roots looked good. They really did. And I saw possibilities, and I hate to just toss it out.
Well, for sure. So when did you repot it?
Oh, about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. And when you put it into the new pot, it's a bigger pot, I assume. Are there drainage holes in that pot?
Yes, there are. And it was in a bonsai type of container. And it sat on its pebbles and what have you. So I figured, well, maybe, you know, I put the wrong soil in. I don't know what I did.
You know what? Well, if it was in a bonsai type container, which is a very, very shallow container, it had been trained with very, you know, tightly pruned roots and to be a small sort of a gnarly looking plant. If you've put it into a regular container and the roots looked good, what I would suggest right now is patience, because you obviously know what you're doing. You're giving it, like you said, all that moisture and humidity. It's probably in a fairly bright light in your home, yeah. And you've had it bloom more than once, which is great, you know, good for you. So I would, yeah. And trimming was a good idea, shearing away any of the dead stuff. So for now, just continue with, you know, the bright spot, water as necessary, you know, mist, you know, pebbles, whatever you need to do to maintain high humidity, and be patient. I think you'll find that in the next 3 to 4 weeks, new little buds are going to start to pop out on the plant. Right now, it's in a bit of a settling in period, so you're not seeing a lot of growth, but I think you will.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
let us
know. Thanks very much
for
the call there, Catherine. Beautiful. Okay, Charlie, quickly, you got an email from Irma. She said, I know that you have said that we should be cleaning our gardens and flower beds, but I have been told that we should leave the gardens alone because wild bees could be nesting in the stalks under the leaves. And so Irma is asking, what should we do?
I know this is a kind of an interesting, maybe a bit controversial, but also a little bit of a philosophical question, because it wasn't that many years ago that we were all about that, you know, scorched earth policy, clean the garden, excuse me, bare earth everywhere. And even when I went to university, that's what we were taught. In the fall, clean everything up. And a lot of our training came out of the UK. Our garden training and our garden practices were all based on what they do in the UK, which is a very different world from ours. They, you know, they have a much milder, like more temperate climate, and they have things happening in a much different sort of quicker than they happen here. So what we've learned as Canadian gardeners is to not so quickly clean up. We've learned to leave the leaves in the fall, not on the lawn, but in the gardens, chop them up if you can in the fall with your lawnmower and pile them on the gardens inches deep if you wish. So at this time of year, now we're looking at our gardens and we've got ornamental grasses that need to come down. We've got piles of leaves in our gardens and we're going, what do I do? What do I do? Here's what you do. Do not remove any of it from your property. If you can possibly do the little bit of work you're going to do, you're going to still keep that material local so that if there are little insects, because remember, a lot of the bees will use hollow stems, and that's where we come back to our grasses as an example. Cut them down. You have to cut them down at some point in the next, if you haven't done it yet, you're going to do it all in the next week or two. And that cutting down allows new growth to come up and, you know, they all look great again. But if you can keep those grass stems, sometimes people will bundle them into little bundles and then just, you know, tie them with a little twine and then kind of prop them up around the property. And if there are little dormant insects inside there, they will emerge in good time based on the weather. Don't bag your organic material. If you can avoid it, keep it to compost, keep it on the property. The leaves, I move them around. I don't really get rid of any, but I move them around. I put my gloves on. I twiddle around with my fingers, move the leaves so I know there's a hosta down there somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So I move the leaves around. Sure enough, there's the little noses just sitting there waiting to come up. Yeah. And I just give them a little bit of sun, give them a little bit of air by moving the leaves around. And if they're big maple leaves or very slow to decompose oak leaves, then I might take a few off the garden and they go into the composter. But wherever possible, I leave that stuff on the garden because it disappears very quickly. Yeah. With all the worms and rain and birds we have out there, that organic material is gone by June 1st, if you can just wait. And don't be adding fresh mulch. We love mulch, you know, the bark, the crushed bark. We love it. But not yet. The soil's too cold. Plants are too dormant. So wait on your mulch. I know sometimes people are going, I have to get my mulch. Wait. Mulch is in June. For now, we're just watching and waiting and letting things emerge and working with what's there in terms of our existing soil, our existing organics, and our existing plant material.
Okie dokie. Okay, more good advice. Our numbers to call, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to our next caller, Maureen, who's calling from North York. Welcome to the Garden Show, Maureen.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning.
My question is about a climbing rose. When I planted it, I didn't know it was a climbing rose. I bought it because it was called a St. Teresa rose, and that's my favorite saint. So anyway, the first year, it grew to be about 4 feet from 2 feet. Last year, I had to trim it twice because it went, and when I was finished, it's now 6 feet high. And I need to cut it back, but I don't want to kill it. How much can I cut it back?
Okay, so Maureen, do you have it planted in a place where you can tie it up so that it's got some kind of a trellis or an arbor or something to grow on?
Yes, it's growing. Actually, I planted in front of my front gallery, so it grows right up. I have a trellis, but it grew up past the trellis and it's up at the railing of the gallery. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this is the right time of year to prune roses, and you want to avoid pruning more than once a year, though sometimes we have to prune out deadwood anytime during the year, or erratic rogue canes that are going in directions we don't want them. We can prune those out. But for now, this time of the year is the time we do the real radical pruning on any of our roses. We try not to be too radical on climbing roses because we know what they're all about, right? They wanted these big, tall canes, and they typically, sometimes, you know, they'll grow 10 feet straight up. So your job, look closely at the plant. You're going to take out, there's going to be some rub, like there's going to be a bunch of branches and rubbing and some damage that will have occurred. So you're going to take out anything that's either damaged or diseased or dead to start with. Then you have to determine how tall you're willing to let this plant get. If you only want it to stay around 6 feet tall, then you're going to have to bring it down this spring. The tallest ones that you're going to keep, bring them down to about 2.5 or 3 feet tall this spring. On a dry, sunny day, you're going to prune on an angle so water doesn't sit on the cut ends. The cool thing about roses, climbing roses, is that if you can leave those tall canes, those, you know, they go straight up, if you can at this time of year bend, like do whatever pruning you need to do, then bend them over and attach them to a railing or a fence or whatever it is so that you can get them curved down from that vertical, you bring them into a horizontal, you will end up with roses all along the horizontal cane that you have tied, because it won't naturally do that. It doesn't hold itself. You have to tie it with, not, you know, wire or anything, just with like old pantyhose, or there's, you know, different things you can get at garden centers that are stretchy and allow air circulation. And you can get a rose to be covered in blooms from the ground all the way up, right across a wall or whatever you've got, fence, by pruning and training that rose into that position.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I will do that. I'll trim it to 3 feet, then I will do that. I could have it, then I could have roses blooming all along the railing, all along the
exactly.
gallery.
Exactly. Perfect. And fantastic. Remember as well, when you're doing all that pruning, as I mentioned, dry day, sharp pruners, have some rose food in your back pocket, because in the spring, this is the time we and typically I'll use a granular rose food. So I just do it once and I do it now while I'm pruning. Sometimes people use a liquid water soluble rose food and you'll have to use that more than once every 6 weeks during the growing season. But you do want to feed your roses because that will give you your best growth and your best blooms.
Oh,
okay,
wonderful.
So it's a beautiful, good luck on that, Maureen.
Thanks for calling.
Want to see pictures down the line?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, give us a call with your indoor gardening question, outdoor gardening question, whatever is on your brain. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yeah, we're back here on The Garden Show, and the lines are, oh my goodness, we're just full of callers. We're going to go to our next one. Mary, who's been very patiently waiting on the line, calling from Hamilton. Welcome to The Garden Show, Mary.
Oh, hello. Good to speak to you. I have a African violet problem. I have originally, it was, I cut it from the, took it out of the dirt about maybe even 2 years anyway, and put it in water because it was a way to force myself to repot it, because it was overdue for potting, repotting. So it's still in the water, and and it's got, you know, huge stringy roots, and the stalk of the African violet, of course, is twirled. Mm-hmm. So it's still in the water, but I'm not sure quite what I should do next. And it occurred to me it would only prolong the being in the water if I shouldn't put some African violet food in the water, because it's turning a little pale.
Mm-hmm. It is probably hurting for lack of nutrient in the water. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, do you want to keep it as a hydroponic African violet?
Not really, no.
So
I mean, I could,
Well, rather than encouraging it to grow more in the water, what I would do, two things I would do. One is, it was probably in a 4-inch pot to start with, and now it's probably got, you know, masses of roots. So get yourself a nice clean 6-inch pot. You can also buy African violet soil. It is very similar to just a regular potting soil, but it's got extra peat moss in it. So, you know, you can even take a regular potting mix and, you know, add a bit of peat moss. Either way, you make sure you've got a good, proper, moist soil for it to go into. I'd get it out of the water. I would trim some of those roots, because you're going to have way too many roots to fit into the pot, probably. And I'd get it back in the soil. However, just as plan B, I would also, with a little razor blade or sharp pair of scissors, I would remove some leaves, healthy. Could be from the very bottom, never from the very top, but, you know, it could be in the middle, but just a few leaves with the stem. So leaf with a little stem or petiole attached. And I would, I use, you know, Chinese takeout boxes, you know, those black plastic little trays, fill that with some of that African violet mix, poke some holes, get some soil in there, moisten it, and then you put the leaves stem side first into the soil on a slight angle, you know, do 4 or 5 or 6 leaves, and put them in a sunny, bright, not necessarily sunny, but a bright spot, a window ledge somewhere, keep them moist, and they will eventually, little African violets will start to grow at the base of each of those leaves. So really what you're going to do is you're going to start new babies from the mother, because the mother is going to be probably a rather odd looking plant right now. And you might end up just composting the mother eventually, but you've got all these little babies, which are clones of the mother. And you're going to start again with some nice, clean, fresh, you know, properly oriented kind of plants.
Mm-hmm. Now, shall I, if some of the roots, roots are really just, you know, thread size, you know, very fibrous. Mm-hmm. Should I just discard those? I mean, just cut that all that off?
Well, I'd cut it all off, but I would trim everything back so that root, that mass of roots that's in water right now can go in, can easily go into a pot with the fresh soil. And keep in mind that the plant needs to grow new roots that are attuned to living in soil as opposed to water. So the roots you're removing, don't worry about it, because they're going to die anyway, and new roots have to grow. So you, it's a kind of a transition when you go from soil to water and water to soil with roots. They're different roots.
Now, I do have African violet soil, but it's quite old. Does it? Like, I mean, it's probably about 5 years old. Does it have to be moist when I do the transplanting?
Oh, absolutely. Always, always. When you're planting anything, plant into moist soil. But age of soil is fine. Is no worries as long as it doesn't have mildew or mold or something growing in it.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. For calling. Good luck with that, Mary.
Yeah, my name. Okay. I was just saying, I'll just interrupt for 1 second. Yeah. My neighbors used to laugh at me because I'd be out planting in the spring, what I was planting, and it'd be raining, and I'd have the hose, and I'd be watering, and they'd go, you know, it's raining. And I'd go, I know, but you always make sure you plant into moist soil. Water as you plant.
Indeed. Okay, we're going to take our last break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Charlie, let's go to our next caller. We have Eva on the line from Seaford. Welcome to The Garden Show, Eva.
Thank you very much, and I would like to talk to both of you. Well, I'm not sure if David would be able to answer, but Charlie, I have a question regarding the my tree, which one is a lilac tree. I called you years and years ago, maybe it's 20 years ago, that I had problem with the lilac bushes. So I said, okay, I'm going to try a tree. And I did buy the tree, and my gardener planted it, and first year it didn't even flower. The second year, and ever since, it's the third year going to be this year. And I have flowers only on the top.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fluffy flowers, not the regular everyday lilac trees or lilac bushes.
Oh, it's an ivory silk lilac? White fluffy flowers?
Yes.
In
it's
July,
just like
July or late June?
With the fluffy flowers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, only on the top. Well, okay, that's really just got to do probably more with pruning than anything. How tall is the tree now?
Oh, it's about 6 feet, even more.
Okay. Well, the flowers are formed on the tips of the branches. So wherever, when you stand there right now, you can look at that tree. There's no leaves on it. And you can see the form of the plant. And you can see how the branches come off the trunk. They're very almost vertical. It's a narrow tree, or what we would call a columnar tree. So the branches run parallel to the trunk. So where you, like, now is the time either for you or the gardener to, on a dry day, look at the actual, like I say, form. If there's crisscross branches, if there's any dead or diseased or damaged branches, now is the time to clean those out. And then again, look at where the branches are going. Are they going nicely and 360 degrees all around? You know, is it a good looking uniform tree? And all the growth will, remember, the flowers will be on the tips and leaves will should sprout along the whole length of the branches. But and so that means you, if all the branches are the exact same height, like if somebody somehow managed to take off the top and now it's a flat top tree, then yes, you're going to have to do some trimming to lower the sides, the outer branches to bring it into more of an oval shape.
So you mean that he has to trim it on the lower branches?
Not necessarily. It depends what's been done already. But what if it hasn't been highly pruned in the past, it should be fine. It should be. They're pretty good plants for growing in a good uniform manner all by themselves.
Is that going to be giving out any scent?
Yeah, they are fragrant.
I didn't
notice
that it's any scent on it.
You got to get up close and it will become a big tree as well. I mean, that tree ultimately wants to be 20 feet tall and, 10 feet wide. So make sure it's got space to do that. But yeah, they are fragrant. The flowers are, get your nose up to them. And at my house, the robins put their nests in those trees all the time. That's Great. Their favorite because they're so dense, so much leaves and so much plant material.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, for the caller, Eva. We have to run. We're going to go right down to Ethel. Ethel is our next caller. Welcome to the Garden Show, Ethel.
Well, good morning for both of you. I have a problem. I have a previous caller. I know you solved the problem. I have a climbing rose. My husband kept on trimming it back, and now it's about 8 foot tall canes and top heavy. Mm-hmm. But my other problem is by midsummer, I don't have any leaves or anything on that rose bush at all whatsoever. What can I spray it with to prevent it?
Well, the first thing now at this time of year, on a dry, sunny day, preferably when there's no wind, you should be spraying it with dormant spray. So dormant spray is a mix of horticultural oil and lime sulfur. We spray that on all of our roses, our fruit trees, our crab apples, plants that are very susceptible to fungal diseases and insects. With the lack of leaves in midsummer, that would indicate you're getting black spot on your rose, and black spot is a fungal disease. So, yeah, I mean, we don't really have time to do a whole rose seminar here, but the main thing with roses is full sun, 6 hours or more of direct sun every day, good air circulation. So pruned to be open for air to penetrate, for sun to penetrate, which will help avoid powdery mildew and black spot, and fertilize in the spring, as I mentioned. If your husband's been trimming, that's fine. You know, if he's doing a reasonable job and the plant looks good later in the summer, but hold on to those leaves by doing everything possible to keep the leaves dry and healthy. And of course, the lime sulfur that comes in the dormant kit can also be used all by itself during the summer. Read all your directions.
I could pick it up in any garden center.
Yep. It's at all garden centers. It'll be at Canadian Tire. It'll be everywhere right now.
Okay. Good luck with your roses there, Ethel. Thanks for the call. And I think that's basically all the time we have, Charlie.
Oh, my goodness. Like, and there's callers on the line. Boy, you know it's spring, eh?
You know it's spring. But, yeah, we only have just over a minute to go for the show here. What are you up to this week? What are you
besides accounting?
Yes, right.
Which I just, you know, procrastinate on as long as possible, but you know the dates do come around, and it is good rainy weather, so it's good to be inside. I want to remind everybody about the Riverdale Horticultural Society's worm casting sale. So bags of worm castings are being sold as a fundraiser for the club, $15 a bag, 20 liter or 25 pound bags for pickup April 28th and May 11th. So just go to Riverdale horticultural.ca if you want to order some, you know, pre-order some bags, and then of course you pick them up in the East York area, and I've already pre-ordered some for my brother.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I think I might jump on there too and order some as well. So I think they're sound divine for the garden.
Oh, so divine. Like, you can't go wrong. It's a, you know, it's like a martini for the soul of the garden.
Oh, nice.
Really? Like, it just doesn't get better, right? So, yeah, great. It's a soil amendment, right? These things are not used alone in a container. This is to be amending your regular soil. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Wonderful show. Appreciate all your help, Robin. And Ashley, couldn't do any of it without her help. So, and to the great callers, have a great week. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.